current vision of your Bible to Genesis chapter 24, 24th chapter of Genesis. We're going to read concerning Isaac and how his servant was seeking a bride for him. As you read in the Old Testament, particularly in Genesis, God singles out different individuals to portray the Lord Jesus, and Isaac is one of them. He is a most interesting birth, just like our Lord Jesus. He is born supernaturally in the sense that his father is 100 years old. So it's not supernatural in the sense it wasn't a natural birth, but his birth is set apart from others, because he's the picture of the Lord Jesus. And when you come into chapter 22, you will find concerning the death and resurrection of Christ that's pictured in dear Isaac. And when you come into chapter 24, where we're going to read tonight, this pictures the Lord Jesus being given a bride. Isaac receiving a bride. And when you look in chapter 25, Isaac is pictured as a picture of the Lord Jesus in the future, when he becomes the heir of all things. So Isaac is a picture chosen by God to portray the Lord Jesus. We're going to read in this 24th chapter concerning Isaac receiving a bride. That's what God is doing today, friend. The Lord Jesus spoke of it himself. The Apostle Paul reveals it in the Ephesian epistle. And the Apostle Peter mentions it, John mentions it. What God is doing today is taking out of this world a people for Christ. And they're going to be his bride for all eternity. Never to lose the value and the greatness of relationship with the Lord Jesus. Look then at this chapter. We'll break in looking at verse 7. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and let swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither again. Look down to verse 13. The servant begins to pray, and he says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drink. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. In other words, he could hardly believe. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of 1/2 shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Verse 31 says, and he said, this is the father of Rebekah, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? for I have prepared the house and room for the camel. Look down to verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Now look for verse 42, And I came this day unto the well, and then he repeats to Laban concerning the coming of dear Rebekah. Now look down this chapter, please, to verse 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Verse 55, And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel, inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will. They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, Abraham's servant. Verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the candle. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I would like to note with you the account of dear Rebekah, particularly verse 58, They called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Tremendous word. It changed the whole course of that woman's life. She is assenting to go with a man she has never seen. All that she knows about him is a little concerning his riches, a little of his history, the account of a man, and she believed it. And on the basis of what she had heard concerning this man, she made a choice of a lifetime. And little did Rebekah realize that her name would go down in the history of heaven and be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend tonight, concerning the Lord Jesus, of whom you have been hearing again this evening, can I say to you that the consequence of this gospel meeting, it will be recorded in heaven tonight, your name and what you do with the Lord Jesus. There are those in this audience, and I know that God has been speaking to your conscience. I know from experience what it is like to sit in gospel meetings when the preached word disturbs the conscience about sin and about hell and about the Lord's coming and about unpreparedness for death and meeting God. I know what it's like. Put it away from me. May I say to you very kindly tonight, my friend, the result of your attitude to the preaching of God's gospel in the person of Christ, could this determine heaven or hell for you irreversibly? That's what makes a father weep. That's what makes a mother wag her head and cry to God for her son. That's what makes that friend beside you say in the quietness of their own heart, "Oh God, I hope they will." It's real. The result. Rebecca never ever dreamed what the result would be. Wilt thou go? I would like you to notice, first of all, in the reading of this 24th chapter, as we have noted already, it is a picture of our Lord Jesus. And it is a picture of the Lord Jesus receiving a people for himself. Interestingly, this dear girl, she came from a land of darkness, a land that knew nothing about God, had no Bible to read, never had a prophet visit them to tell them about God. Amazing. Am I looking into the face of someone here tonight and you've never held a Bible in your hand before? And when you hear about the Lord Jesus and you can hear about the greatness of his person and how much it means to those that know him, you sit with a kind of wonder and you say, I've never dreamed of such a thing as this. I can't fathom this. You've never been confronted with Christ before. I believe tonight, my friend, the Spirit of God, who is in every gospel meeting where his word is opened, is confronting you with the Lord Jesus tonight. And the greatness of his cross work on behalf of poor, dying, sinful beings that we know ourselves to be. Sinful by God's standard. Unfit for God's heaven. Fit only for God's wrath. We've rejected his way. We've done our own thing. We're all guilty of it. There are no exceptions. There's no argument in it. We are guilty, sinful beings. And when the Lord Jesus confronts us with the greatness of his grace and the wonder of his unmerited love, it leaves you kind of astounded. And you don't know what to think. May I point out to you, friend, that from this illustration in the Old Testament, what God is doing is he's bringing you into the sphere of opportunity of a lifetime, that you as a sinner may be brought into living relationship with the Christ of God, never to be lost, eternally saved, and linked with Christ in his glory. My friend, tonight, the marvel of it. It's totally amazing. And it's a chance and an opportunity of a lifetime that the Bible shows very clearly may never be repeated to you. I hope that you will believe God tonight and face this question. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Marvelous moment. Dear Rebecca, we're going to meet her in heaven. Those who have repeated her answer, as we look back in our experience, Mr. Hull was telling you as he stood by the side of the road, I was sitting on my little bed alone with my Bible, longing to know peace with God. And I thank God for that beautiful verse in Romans 5 and verse 6. It just came to my memory, for I had learned it from a little wee boy when I could learn anything. My father taught us 3 5-word texts, and that was one of them. Christ died for the ungodly. And for the first time in my life, I saw what it meant. It meant that God had given Christ for a sinner like me. And the question is simply, Jim Smith, will you go with this man? And sitting on the side of the bed that night, I took him at his word. It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Wondrous love. I can shout and sing, sinner that I am. I know nothing in myself that is good. God says it isn't good. But he gave his son for me out of love to keep me out of hell where I deserve to be. And that Sunday night, I took him at his word. I said in the language of this 58th verse, I will go. Ah, friend, tonight I trust that will be your experience before you leave that seat of upon which you are found tonight, in the mercy of God, as the Lord Jesus is presented to you, that you might take them home with you tonight to rejoice in knowing he is mine. In his love he took my place. In his mighty power he paid for my sin. In his precious blood he opened the fountain of cleansing for me. I will go. Can I note with you the plan? As we have mentioned already, it's a father seeking a bride for his son. My friend, that's what God is doing in our world tonight. From the four winds of the world. You know, I love to think of that verse in Romans chapter 5. It gives me a lot of pleasure when I think of being home in heaven. You know, the people think that the gospel is some little thing in a corner, and you know, it's some little thing unique to that little group, their strange group or whatever. And the gospel they're preaching about eternal salvation and assurance of heaven, it's just a small little group. You listen to Revelation chapter 5. Out of every kindred, and every tongue, and every tribe, and every people, they're going to sing unto the Lord Jesus in heaven. I tell you, friend, this world, out of every corner of our world, God is seeking sinners. He sends out his servants to preach Christ, to preach the way of salvation for sinners. And everyone that believes the gospel is brought into the blessing of eternal salvation. That's what God is doing tonight, and he's going across the world. Many of our dear friends have gone over to Russia since the great nation broke into the different factions in which it is presently found, and the door has been opened for the gospel. Many of them have found people that were longing for one of the Bibles that the Westerners read, and that they seem to have found peace in with God in Christ. Many of them, one dear brother told me of a dear lady, her hands trembled as she held that little New Testament in her hand and sat down on the steps of the school where he had met her and began to weep over its page, with the total joy, I've got a Bible. Is it any wonder that he was able to tell us it was only 3 days later that she came beaming, pointing to John 5 and 24, if you will, my dear friend. You know what that verse says? The Lord Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life. And that's what she was rejoicing in. She says, I've got it. I have everlasting life because the book says so. My friend in the meeting tonight, that's saying like this dear lady, I will go. Taking God at his word, just in the simplicity of it. It isn't the great education that you need in spiritual things. No, friend, it's not how much you know that counts. It's who you trust that counts. And it's the Lord Jesus that saves sinners. He puts the sin away. He puts the record clean. 'Tis he who gives eternal life. 'Tis he who gives peace with God, for he has already made peace by the blood of his cross. And so the servant of the Father is going out across the land looking for a woman. Ah, tonight, friend, the Spirit of God is in this little gathering, and he's looking for a woman who will take his record concerning the Son and believe him. Mind you, the record of this book is more accurate than the record of that servant. That man was just another person like you and me. And friend, don't take my record for it tonight. You take God's record. This is the record that God hath given to us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. What does he say, friend? That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Spiritual life, of course, is what he is speaking of. May I ask you, friend, has there ever been a time in your life when, like this dear lady, you will say, I will go. You've got the Son. Receiving Christ, taking him for the value of what God declares him to be, the sinner's Savior, the one who gets men for heaven, the one who blots out their past history with all its sin, righteously, eternally, and freely. Wonderful Savior, wonderful friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, wilt thou go with this man? Let me note with you how this dear lady received tokens of the greatness of this man whom she's asked to trust. Now, with our human eye, we cannot see our Lord Jesus Christ. We've never seen him. We'll never see him on this earth again, as far as we are concerned, in this condition. He's coming back to earth again. But those that are saved will be in heaven with him for all eternity. Then we will see him. But you've never seen him now. And it isn't really a question of what he looks like. Isn't it interesting to notice that this servant never told that woman what he looks like? Never told her what Isaac looked like, how tall he was, whether he was blonde, gray, or brown, or black in his hair. Never told her a thing about him. Didn't have blue eyes or brown? We don't know. That isn't what counts. What really counted was what he was able to give her. And my friend in the meeting tonight, that's what God wants you to see in the Lord Jesus, what he has for you. It isn't a question of how tall he was, what color his eyes are. It's not the physical aspect of it. It's what he possesses and what he's willing to give to a sinner. Marvelous friend, tonight God is willing and desirous that you should see in the Lord Jesus the one who meets all your needs spiritually. What a need you have, friend. Darkness reigns in the human mind. That's why you can't see. You say to yourself, well, I can't see that. No wonder, because you're a sinner. A sinner cannot think like God. God isn't asking you, friend, to try and think like him. He wants you to come to him like you are and believe him. His word is true. He's giving you the divine record. He's telling you that the Son is heir of all. He is rich in his love. And my friend, you're proving it every day. He's giving you tokens of his mercy. Not one of us deserves to be here tonight, friend, as far as God is concerned. We've sinned against him, and if God gave you what you deserved and gave it to me, we'd be in hell already, friend. For one sin against such a benevolent, great, holy God. And our little history is full of sin. What mercy he offers and gives to you. He gave her physical things to look at. My friend, he has given to you and me both physical and spiritual and mental. Marvelous friend, without the mental capacity you could never hear and believe the gospel. Marvelous that God's been so good to you tonight. Every mercy that surrounds you, don't waste it. It's all a token that he wants you to face this man. And what will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Wilt thou go with this man? Yes, not only did he give tokens of his love, but he gave promises for the future. Ah, friend, the promise of the gospel that God gives concerning the Lord Jesus. I love to think of those words of the Lord Jesus when he was about to leave his disciples, he said to them, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise, friend. He's going to carry it out. That's why I know I'm going to be in heaven. That's why I know I'm going straight to glory. The moment that I bid farewell to earth in death, I'm going to heaven because the Lord Jesus said so. I think of those lovely words that he writes to the Ephesian believers. And he says, in the ages to come, he's going to show the riches of his grace to you forever and ever. I tell you, friend, heaven is going to be wonderful just to be with the Lord Jesus. But our little mind can hardly grasp the riches that he offers you. And friend, can I remind you that without the Lord Jesus, there's nothing but devastation and sorrow in hell. The words of his comfort will never reach your poor, benighted, abandoned soul in the pit of hell. Not a ray of light will ever shine into that awful gloom and darkness. Never would you even hear so much as the sweetness of the twitter of a robin. There's no comfort in hell. There's no joy in that awful pit. Oh, friend, I say that tonight just to give you a little glimpse of the reality of this great question that's confronting your soul tonight. Wilt thou go with this man? Look at this dear woman's choice. It was to stay in idolatry. It was to stay in poverty. It was to stay alone where there was no God, no Bible, no food. As far as eternity was concerned, that's the choice that's yours. Christ offers eternal life. He offers you peace with God. He offers it tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, you could remain in your garden and go home like you came. No peace to go to bed with. Sins unforgiven. Nothing but the darkness of the groans of the lost forever. Confront your soul if you died in your sins tonight, friend. We hope it will not happen, but many will in Vancouver tonight. They'll go to their bed tonight and will not waken in the morning, only to waken in the bowels of the dead. Be wise tonight, then. That's what this woman had to face. She faced where she stood. She faced what she could have. The question is placed before her. Will I go with this man? This man. You know, that's a lovely statement. That's spoken 5 times about the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. This man. Let me tell you some of it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 reads like this. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand. God, wilt thou go with this man? That's the answer to the sin question. This man has met that answer, friend. This man, the Lord Jesus, has met the deep need of the sinner, and that ought to echo with joy through your heart tonight. My need is already met? Yes, it is, friend. You mean that the price is already fully paid? Yes, it is. This man paid it. The Bible says so. Wilt thou go with this man who settled the sin question? I love those words. When the Lord Jesus was hanging upon Golgotha's tree, you know what they said about him? This man hath done nothing amiss. This man is holy. This man, my friend, was taking the sinner's place. In substitution at Calvary. Marvelous, oh, I love to think of it. When he went to the cross and laid down his holy body upon that wooden tree, those poor Roman soldiers had never handled hands like his before. Voluntarily he gave them. I wonder what they thought as they laid that hand upon that wooden cross and brought that mallet down to nail that beautiful hand to the tree. And pound after pound, they put that nail through his hand of the blessed Savior. Nailed upon Golgotha's tree, faint and bleeding, who is he? God, 'tis he, 'tis he, I am. My friend, tonight in this meeting, our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to Calvary to settle us in question. This man, wilt thou go with this man? I mention one more to you in Luke chapter 15, and the people said about him, this man receiveth sinners. My friend, that's is that not good news for you tonight? Oh, I say, dear young friend and young older one in the meeting, could you hear of a greater message than that this man with wounded hands and feet and side, who has gone into glory as you have heard tonight, God has given to him the place of the right hand, the place of honor, the place of heirship, the place of authority, the place of glory. This man, he received sinners. Oh, come to him tonight. Take him at his word. Wilt thou go with this man that receives sinners? Marvelously, everyone that comes, he cleanses them from sin. He forgives them and he gives them the best robe of heaven freely as the gift of his love. Wilt thou go with this man? Said, marvelous, written in heaven. Rebecca said, in this audience tonight as we close our Bible, on this Thursday evening, I wonder how many will there be poor, guilty sinners confronted with the Lord Jesus. God has let you look at his wounded hands and behold the finished work. A paid price for sin. The Spirit of God has given you to see that the Lord Jesus, who lives in glory, is able to save you just as you are. I wonder how many will be able to bow their knee by their bed tonight and be able to say, I thank you, Lord, that this man receiveth sinners. I will. God grant that more than one. As you leave this chair tonight, you'll be able to rejoice to know he is mine. Notice at the end of that chapter, he was waiting to see her. Your friend, there's a man in heaven tonight. He's waiting for your response. He's waiting. He would desire that you, young man, with all your years of rebellion and sin and pride and all the rest of it that's been in your history, and you've kept Christ at arm's length, will you not lay them down tonight and say, God grant it may be your portion, that you may rejoice to know Christ is mine, and he will receive you. And he will rejoice to know that you are his forever. Our God in heaven, we praise thee for the marvelous grace of thy heart that deigns to offer the Lord Jesus to sinful man. Amazing, we thank thee for the greatness of his finished work. We thank thee that he lives to receive all that will turn to him tonight. And we do trust that those who have heard thy word, who have by thy gracious spirit been touched in their conscience, and their eyes may be opened to see that Christ at Calvary met their deepest need. We wonder what they will do about it tonight. We trust that they will take him and rejoice to know he is mine and I am his forever. We thank thee for thy word, asking blessing upon it. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. We will sing a hymn in closing. Hymn number 89. Hymn 89. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and sweet and tenderly. He bids you your burden lay at his feet. Oh, soul so sad and weary, that sweet voice speaks to thee. Then, what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall the answer? If there are souls here tonight to whom God has spoken, may I say to you very, very kindly, whatever you do, don't listen to the words of Rebecca's parents. Did you know, notice what they said to her? And you stay tender. And then, tender. Broke. See it for you. It's not too. And God says, now, the day of salvation. Like the servant said to those people, let there be no hindrance. Put it away. Eternity's in the balance. Heaven or hell. Wilt thou go? The singers in the meeting, remember the final meeting of this week, tomorrow evening, and on Saturday evening at 7:30 on Main Street, Lord's Day evening here.